Okay, again, welcome to King's Baptist Bible College New Testament Survey, Part 2, Lesson 12. I'm just going to review a little bit in the beginning, some of Revelation, and try to get up to chapters 11 quick, but we'll just do a little review. So it's, you know, Revelation starts on page 536 in your book, and we will go try to make it to 573, basically a review of 1 through 10, and then a little bit more in depth in the rest of it. Witness of the Lamb instructed, chapters 1 through 3. And I mentioned that in the key verse for Revelation is Revelation 1:19. So if you look at Revelation 1:19, it says, would somebody like to read that for me?
I know thy works, and, oh, that's number 2, I'm sorry. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter.
Okay, so how does that outline the book of Revelation? Anybody remember?
Or no? Past, present, and future.
Past, present, and future, right. So chapter 1 is the past. Chapters 2 and 3 is the present, and chapters 4 through 22 is the future. So John gives an inspired outline from Jesus Christ, saying, write what's already been here, write what's happening right now, and I want you to write what's going to happen. So John, John takes us back further than any other writer in the New Testament. He goes all the way back to creation. His gospel, John, goes back to creation. In the beginning was the Word. And he takes us to the consummation of the world. I said, Satan hates, I would think, especially the first and the last book of the Bible, Genesis, because it tells us how he duped man out of the title deed to this world. And Revelation tells us how Christ is going to take it back. And, of course, he doesn't like anything in between either because it talks about Christ. So I would imagine he wants you to doubt Genesis that it would actually happen, and he wants you to think that Revelation is just myths and stories. And but people have all kinds of interpretation of Revelation. Like, some say it's all past, like it happened during the church age, or it happened during the early days of John. Some say it's currently happening, but there's no future. What I believe is that the Bible does talk about the past. It talks about then the present for John, and it'll tell us about the future, because he gives us the inspired outline right there in chapter 1, verse 19. John tells us many times what he's talking about. Remember the Gospel of John. John tried to prove what? The deity of Jesus Christ. 1 John, what did he do in the epistles? He proved the humanity of Christ. Revelation, he's going to tell how Christ is going to claim the title deed of the earth back. And we're going to see that when he starts opening the seals. He pours out the seventh seal judgment in chapters 5 through 19. And, well, let me go back here to the seven churches. John writes the seven churches, and you can see in church history, you can see how each of these categories, Ephesus and Smyrna and Thyatira, how each fit a certain period in the church age. But it also fits today. You can look at the seven churches in Revelation, and you can say, oh, I know a church like that. They're right doctrinally, but they have no love for the Lord. It's like it's all head knowledge. You got ones that are lukewarm. They don't go out of their way to tell anybody about the Lord. They're not hot, but they're not cold. If you ask them questions, oh yeah, I believe that. But they don't let the Bible interfere with their life. Let's put it that way. So you can look at the churches in Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, and you can picture churches even today like that. And you know, and there were all these churches throughout history, but some had more of a, certain churches appeared stronger at certain times of our church age. And then again, we're going to see the Wrath of the Lamb, chapter 16 through 19, the Reign of the Lamb Institute, chapter 20, and the Wife or the Bride of the Lamb in chapters 21 and 22. We see God pouring out his seven-seal judgment. And remember, John saw these seven seals, and an angel said, "Who is worthy to open the book and break the seals?" And what happened? And John said, no one was found worthy, and he cried. And the angel told him, hey, don't cry. There's one worthy, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And John turned, and what did he see? He saw a lamb as it had been slain. Now, think of that irony. The lamb's going to bring judgment. We think of lambs as peaceful, innocent beings. We think of lions as a... But here, it says a lamb's gone to bring the judgment. And we see his royalty, his kingship, his connection with David of the line of the tribe of Judah. But as a lamb, we see in John 1, where the lamb that took away the sins of the world. So he, John pictures him, sees a picture of, hey, I saw this divine person who wound up being Jesus Christ, and he looked like a lamb that was killed, because John probably saw the nail prints in his hands and his feet, but yet he looked like he didn't look like a dead limp animal. He looked like a lion, strong and bold. And you know, he talks about fire in his eyes. You know, so I mean, he's alive forevermore. And so John sees all this, and imagine if you had, I mean, I had a dream one time that I was in heaven. This is before I was saved. And I got so scared, I said, I don't care about my pride, I'm getting saved. And I just remember seeing, you know, because I've been hearing about the Bible and Revelation and all that for 6 months before I got saved. So, you know, you can imagine me saying, hey, Chris, let me tell you about this dream I had. And trying to describe all these things I'm seeing, it's like just so much, you know. And John was actually called up to the third heaven, and he saw all these things. And, you know, his mind just couldn't quite comprehend everything. So he tried, I saw something like. I mean, can you imagine somebody in John's day, like, you know, John himself, describing a nuclear explosion? I mean, if somebody tried to describe the atomic bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, who knew nothing about an atomic bomb, or knew nothing about bombs, how would he describe it? I saw this flash brighter than the sun. And, I mean, literally, people just melted. Their shadows formed on the concrete. You know, so you can imagine John may be witnessing nuclear explosions and bombs going off. I mean, it's just mind-blowing. And he had a vision of us, and he's trying to describe all these things to us. And we see, who is the initiator of this judgments? Christ. He breaks the seal. He initiates everything. Down here on earth, here and now, we face trials and problems from Satan. But the problems that come to the people left on this earth, it's all going to be initiated by the Lord. He starts breaking the seal and starts pouring out his judgment upon the earth. Well, why? Well, one, the world deserves judgment. Two, he's trying to get people to repent and turn to him. And we're going to see that a lot of people get saved. I mean, he commissions 144,000 people. And I was listening to one well-known preacher, and I like a lot of his messages, but he was talking about Revelation. Bless you. And he said 144,000. That's not real. That's just figurative. And I'm thinking, okay, if I read, well, when I did read Revelation, when I first got saved, when it said 12,000 out of this tribe, 12,000 out of this tribe, 12,000, you know, just reading it from then a high school starting college, when I read that, I thought, well, they're going to have 12,000 people out of each of the tribes of the 12 tribes of Israel. I didn't look at it, oh, it's probably figurative here. But then the problem is, some of these same people, they want to make something literal, and they'll say, you know, in the same book, well, that's literal, but that's figurative. I mean, if you take everything figurative, like Origen did, in like, you know, some of these Eusebius and all of them, they like to interpret, like Genesis, it's figurative. It's just trying to teach stories. So how do you know when to believe God, right? If we're always finding new scripture and having to change scripture, like with the newer versions, how can I ever say I have God's word? We're going to look at something in here tonight that we'll go through, and I'll just tell you what one of the older and better manuscripts say. So we're going to see where he pours out the vials or the bowl judgments. We see seven churches. We see where Christ destroys the world's religious system, where he destroys the political and economical system. He defeats sinners and Satan at the Battle of Armageddon. And at Armageddon, if you look at Israel, let's say this is Israel right here. And if you look at Israel like this, and it, from your perspective over here, right to the west side, or in this case over here, the Galilee, there's a big plain. And Galilee, if you remember the maps, Galilee is on the northern side and Judah is in the southern side. But in that valley, that's the valley of Megiddo, the Armageddon, where the war's going to happen. Well, Jesus, the town of Nazareth, is on the cliff outlooking this valley. So when Christ would look at these, and that's the main travel spot between Asia and Africa, you know, and Europe. So when they had to go through Israel, that was one of the main easiest travel routes to go through that valley. So Christ probably pictured all these caravans and Roman soldiers and all these people traveling this valley, that he knew one day that there'll be a bloodbath there. Napoleon said it was the greatest battlefield in the world when he looked at Megiddo. And I don't know how much he knew about the Bible, but he, you know, of course, he took a lot of things from Egypt. You know, he had archaeologists, and he took some of the, I forget what the one that they would use to translate the hieroglyphics, but one of those obelisks he took, and it had three or four different languages on it. And they used that to finally figure out the hieroglyphics. But Napoleon's troops took it when they were over in Africa attacking some of the places there. But he said Megiddo was the greatest battlefield in the world, this plain, a huge plain. And one day, you know, you're going to have China, probably 2 million horse soldiers there. And, I mean, we'll get into that later. And then he's also going to condemn Antichrist and the false prophet and throw them into the lake of fire. The seven seal judgment, how does it start? You hear the word horsemen of the apocalypse. Well, Revelation, the first word in the Greek Bible, is the English word we translate revelation, but the Greek word is apocalypso, or apocalypse. And it means revealing or unveiling. So Christ, when he gives us the book of Revelation, he basically says, I'm unveiling, I'm revealing all the future, all this stuff that's going to happen to the future to you. And we see the white horse. Well, some people might say that, oh, that's Christ. He's on a white horse. Well, Christ always is pictured with a sword. Here they believe, you know, and I believe it too, that the white horse, the rider on it, is the Antichrist. And he has a bow, but notice he has no arrows. So most people think that he will be a politician. that he'll come and bring peace to the world through diplomacy. He'll be a smooth talker. I mean, he'll be able to speak and persuade people. The second seal, the red horse, you know, that's where we're actually going to have war going on. And if you think about Armageddon and some of these wars that's going to happen in the book of Revelation, it says there has never been wars like this before. Think of all the wars we've had in this world. World War II, or is it World War I? I'm trying to remember which war it was. We lost, probably they believe that 1 in 40 people on this planet died in World War II. Well, when they figured out the numbers in Revelation, they figure it's going to be 1 in 4 dies. Imagine that. That's going to be, if you figure out how many people they say died, when you add them all up in Revelation, it probably comes to 3 times the population of the United States. I mean, that's a lot of dead people. And you got the black horse, famine. Well, you can imagine, with all those wars going on, what happens? You're not having stuff being shipped in agriculture, right? People start hoarding. I mean, look at COVID. I mean, how long did it take for you to find toilet paper, right? And I mean, you go to the store and it's like, what happened? I remember when it first happened, people talking about it, and I go to the store not knowing anything. And I go there and I'm looking around like, where's all the stuff? I mean, how many had the same experience, right?
Exactly.
So you can imagine, and people are going to be, I mean, there's not the farm, I mean, I would imagine there's going to be gangs going around, like, you know, you get a gang going around and taking the food. I mean, remember, Israel faced that back in their days, right? Remember, they'd have the Midianites and the Amalekites. They would come in off the desert on their camels, ride in, and raid Israel during the time of harvest. They get their food, take the camels back through the desert. So, I mean, Gideon, I mean, that's what he was hiding them from, the Midianites, right? They would come in, raid the territory, take what they want, head back. You know, hey, that's pretty good. You don't have to grow it. You just go take it after somebody else does it and harvest it, right? So they would know the times when the wheat and the, well, barley first, and then the wheat harvest comes in later. So they knew, okay, get ready, you know, especially during the time of Judges when God wasn't protecting them so well because they were disobedient to him. He said, hey, if you do this, you're going to suffer. You're gonna be judged, and they had to learn the hard way, just like we sometimes have to learn the hard way, don't we? The pale horse, he opens that widespread death, war, starvation, wild beasts. Imagine if all these people die in Revelation, right? What's going to happen? You'll have less population, so what's going to happen? The wild animal population is going to increase. I mean, imagine these animals eating the dead carcasses. I mean, we used to have mountain lions around here all the time. I mean, all over the, I mean, you know, bears, grizzly bears, and, you know, all the wild animals that get pushed out because, I mean, you know, people are going to kill. If I see a mountain lion running around in my yard, I'm going to try to kill it. I'm not going to go out in the middle of the night, you know, leaving the house at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I don't expect to get attacked by a mountain lion, so we're going to clear them out, right? Well, imagine, you know, a fourth of the world population dying. That's probably, and who knows what else? I mean, some of the genetic mutations that they might be making. Who knows? I mean, they could have, we see some of these demon beasts in there, and, you know, I imagine that, you know, they came out of the pits of hell. That's what it says, out of the pit. But what kind of other animals might they crossbreed and make, you know, I mean, and get let loose in the world? I mean, rats. I mean, the bubonic plague kills, you know, so many people in Europe just because the rat population increased and they carried the ticks that bit the people that gave them the bubonic plague. You're going to have the cry of the martyr in chapter 6. And these are the tribulation martyrs, the ones that die, and they're in heaven say, Lord, how long? And what does the Lord say? Hey, not until your brethren that's going to get killed, get sealed and die, but he's going to take care of it one day. The great earthquake. And then there's a little interlude between the sixth seal and the seventh seal. And here you have the conversion and the call of the 144,000. It's not figurative. He says 12,000 from this tribe. Tell 12,000 from this tribe. I mean, if you say that, well, maybe the 7-year tribulation isn't 7 years, right? No, it's 7 years. I mean, Daniel talks about it. Ezekiel talks about it. John talks about it. He says you're going to have tribulation 3.5 years. Then you're going to have greater tribulation the last 3.5 years. They say 7 years. They say 3.5, 3.5, which is 7. They say 36 months and 36 months, which is 7 years, biblical years. And they even give the dates, which comes to what? 7 years of days. So I don't know how you can't be more specific. He mentions the years, the months, and the days. And it all adds up to 7,360 Jewish years, or 360 months, or 7 Jewish years. Daniel talks about it, the 70 weeks. And between week 69 and 70, we have the church age. The rapture happens after, it happened. And then we don't know how long exactly, but once the Antichrist signs the covenant treaty with Israel, that is the official beginning of the tribulation period. And so then you'll have 7 years. So if you're post-trib or mid-trib, you're going to know exactly when the tribulation rapture would happen. Because if you're mid-trib, middle ways is 3.5 years. If you're post-trib, that's 7 years. Pre-trib, it's going to happen like a thief in the night. We're not going to know when, only the Father. So some of them, they try to make some things figurative, that shouldn't be figurative. I mean, John, when he's talking about a figure of speech, he says, like unto. So he can't quite describe it. So can you imagine, anybody know what a platypus is? Or anybody here don't know what a platypus is? Janice, you know what a platypus is?
Yeah, that kind of animal that I know is in the water. I forget what it looks like, but a seal or something,
Could you imagine me saying, okay, describe a platypus, but you don't know what a platypus looks like? I mean, if you study it and read it, you say, oh, I can describe a platypus. He has a bill, and he has webbed feet. He has little bar spikes on his heel. He looks like a half otter, half duck, half, otter, beaver, But you can imagine John just trying to describe something he's never seen before. He said it was like this and like that. And sometimes when he says like, for example, he said his eyes were like fire, talking about judgment and how he can pierce and see through the hearts and the intents of men. Talks about wearing a white robe. He's pure. He's holy. It might be the Shekinah glory on him. He talks about, legs of brass and, carried a sword. And out of his mouth proceeded a sharp two-edged sword. Well, I don't think Christ has a literal sword coming out of his mouth, but it's talking about his word. Because what does the Bible say? His word's sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing and the soul and spirit asunder, right? So John's described some things you can realize, okay, that's figurative. But, no figures of speech, so when you read Revelation, remember some things are figurative, and that should be evident from the passage. Some things are harder to tell when you read it, But that's why if you're reading Daniel, Revelation, Ezekiel, more of these things can come out because some will explain some of the things that are happening later. Like in the first chapter, he talked about the lampstand, right? In the midst of the golden lampstands. And he says, okay, seven bowls, you know, you got the seven churches, and you've got the seven lamps. You got the seven angels of the churches. And I said, most people, and I believe they were probably talking about the pastors of the church. And J. Vernon McGee said, hey, it's nice to be called an angel. We've been called plenty of other things before. So, chapters 8, you got the first trumpet. So now the last seal opens up the seven trumpets. So they're getting more intense. The judgment's getting worse. So the first trumpet, a third of the vegetation's going to be destroyed. The second trumpet blows. You're going to have a third of the ocean and the ships destroyed. Can you imagine how much more? I mean, if they were bad the first part, these are going to be worse. I mean, you know, you're going to, you know, I because of COVID, I've seen a lot of people at work ask me how to do gardening just because of COVID, because they couldn't get things. And some of them want to try to, I was talking to a guy at Lowe's today. He did his first garden. I was talking to him because we were over in the same section. He said, can I get your number? If I have any questions, could I ask you about, and I invited him and his mom to the to our revival service. And he was all excited, showed me a picture of his potatoes starting to come up and all that. Now, I don't know if he texted it to himself, because he said he was going to text me. So hopefully he copied it down right. So I hadn't got a text yet from him. But his grandmother, the lady's mom, had to go in the hospital yesterday. So his mom was talking to her mom at the hospital. So, and I can't remember if it was Celeste or what her grandmother's name was. But you're going to have the third trumpet. You're going to have a third of the fresh water. And just think, the Great Lakes, the five Great Lakes we have, make up a fifth of the world's fresh water. So imagine more, it's going to be like equivalent more than all the Great Lakes poison. And if you've been, any of you ever seen the Great Lakes, you know, I've been up to several of them, you know, two of them, but you can imagine all that fresh water poison. And people are going to, you know, I mean, you know, right now we're drinking water, right? I mean, you're not going to, it's going to be a more of a luxury then. You have the fourth trumpet. A third of the sun, moon, and stars darken. Imagine the eclipse we had. It's going to be dark. I mean, it's going to throw off the animals, the birds. We're not going to get as much stuff growing because there's going to be less sunlight. And I know from a friend of mine, him and his wife, she's Ukrainian, and they were missionaries in Ukraine. Now he's pastoring the church back here in the States now, but he said during the winter up there, because it's, you know, 6 months winter up there, you know, dark. He said they have so many suicides and people die from drink themselves to death. He said he's drove down the road and seen dead people laying on the side of the highway in the winter just from shooting themselves. They get depressed. And, you know, so he said it's like, you know, and if you go over, you don't know if it's a suicide or if it's a Russian mafia or what. So a lot of people will just keep on driving, you know. I know in New York, I tried to help this girl. She was stabbed. She was bleeding. And I tried to help her. No, get away from me. I don't want any help. And she just took off running. And she had blood all over her on her one side. And I tried to help her, and she said, no, get away from me. I don't want any help. So I don't know what happened. You know, she just took off running. So you can imagine there's probably going to be a big distrust. I mean, they're not going to, you know, and remember, once Christians are taken out, the Holy Spirit's taken out, it's going to happen more like the Old Testament. But you can imagine when God takes out the Holy Spirit that restrains evil, how much more evil the world's going to be at that time. I mean, hey, I like that ring, Matt. Chop off your hand. You know, I mean, you take what if you have the power and force, you're going to take what you want, maybe. You know. The fifth trumpet, you have the hellish demons that come out of the earth. If you want to turn over to chapter 9, a fifth angel sounded in verse 1, and I saw a star fall from heaven upon the earth, and to him was given the keys of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit. Let me just flip over here a minute to this page. I'll just read it from here. And smoke arose, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as a scorpion of the earth had power. And they stung people, just the ones who didn't have, you know, the ones that had the mark of the beast. They stung them. And I know my brother, he went to put his shoes on when he was in the Philippines, and there was a scorpion in his shoe. And he said it was very painful. He was kind of nervous, checking his bed, shaking it, making sure he shakes his shoes out. But he said, could you imagine for several months, all this time, being tormented for 6 months from the pain of a one sting? I mean, you're going to be in agony. And they say they look like, you know, had the face of a woman, the hair, you know, a hair of, you know, sounded like thunder. Well, let me read for 5 months, sorry. They should not kill them, but they torment them for 5 months. And in those days, the shape of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads, they were crowns of gold. Their faces were the face of men. Their hair had hair of a woman, and their teeth were like the teeth of lions. Can you imagine? And we don't know how big they are. I mean, you see some of these tribulation movies, and some show shadows the size of a real horse. I mean, we don't know how big these demonic locusts will be. And you know how, and they said their wings sounded like thunder. Well, locusts sound like that, don't they? I mean, you hear the sound, but I imagine these will be worth them. Said his name was Abad in the Greek Apollyon, which means destroyer or Satan, you know, one who destroys. You had the second invasion of the demons on the earth, and it talks about their leader, and it just goes down through, and the sixth angel sounded, and it said loose four angels which were bound in the great river Euphrates, and the four angels were loose, which prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay a third part of them. So these angels, demonic angels, are going to destroy a third of the earth's population that's left. And the number of the army of the horsemen, 200,000, so 2 million horse soldiers. And China today has 2 million horse soldiers, a cavalry. So I don't know if you've ever seen some of these Chinese parades, and you always see a dragon, or like a lion. I wonder if they're going to have their horses decorated like that, or these demonic horses are going to actually have the heads of lions. I don't know. I mean, John's trying to describe what they're going to look like. The horses were like, had the vision, and them it set on, and had the breastplate of fire and Jason and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the beast of lions. Out of the mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. So imagine they're just shooting out flames like a dragon. You know, they're from the pits of hell.
Do you think sometimes, though, in that day, you know, in certain parts of that they might be talking about airplanes or something?
Well, they could.
You know?
I mean, we don't know.
Sometimes I kind of think, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, today we see, I mean, look at some of these drones
that can fly out. Yeah.
I mean, you know.
I never thought of that one.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know. I mean, they, you know, they can. And, you know, but we see different type of creatures talked about in the Bible, so who knows? I mean, we know they're going to kill people. They're going to suffer pain and judgment. Look at verse, you have a little interlude, and it says, and I saw another mighty angel, and, come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And its face was as it were the sun. Now, some people think that this is Jesus, but personally, I believe it's an angel, because it says he said he worshipped the one who was forever and ever, right? But look at this verse, verse 1. And a rainbow was upon his head. You know, coming around, right? Well, you remember I said about the older and better manuscripts? Well, the Vaticanus doesn't have any Revelation in it. Now, you wonder why it doesn't have the book of Revelation. You know, maybe it was something about the seven hills and the harlot on the seven hills. Maybe they didn't like that book, thought it was describing them too much. Well, Sinaiticus, that a rainbow was upon his head. You know what Sinaiticus says? He had hair upon his head. Well, you know, I said, that's what's unusual about that? Well, it just shows you the older isn't necessarily better. They make mistakes.
Well, if they
dyed
their hair like a rainbow.
Yeah, true. That's true. Well, you got me on that one. I didn't think about that one. I've seen some pretty bright hair. His face was as the sun, and he had his hand a little book, and he said, set up his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and he cried with a loud voice, like as a lion roareth, and when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now, I said Revelation is the open book. These seven thunders, we don't know exactly what they were, but this is the only thing John is told to seal up. Don't write it. So maybe there was an indication in there, maybe of what the end time is going to be. So John said, the angel told him, hey, don't write it down. Don't write this part. So, I mean, most Revelation, he says, hey, write it. But this seven thunders, for some reason, and I guess when we go to heaven, we'll find out, says, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. So I'm assuming these thunders are probably voices of other angels. And the angel which I saw was standing up sea and, upon the earth, lift up his hands to heaven, and listen to what he said. And what does he do? He swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven. So this angel is swearing by the one who created the heavens and the earth. Who created the heavens and the earth?
Yes, Jesus.
Christ, Lord Jesus, right? So that's why I don't think it's Christ when it's talking about him. Because they see the rainbow, and you know these angels are bright too, and so I imagine it's like Moses. What happened to Moses when he was in the presence of God for a while? He came down from the mountain. What happened? His face shone, right? And he didn't even realize it that his face shone. Oh, that's why Moses had to wear a veil. And so I said I personally think it's an angel. Now, if people have different views, that's fine. And he says, take the book and eat it. And what is it like? It tastes sweet in his mouth, right? Well, why? Well, now John's probably tasting that book, and God's judging this wicked world. But he said, it's going to turn bitter in your belly. Well, why is that? God's also going to judge the apostate Israel, to get them to repent. And that's bitter to John. He's going to see many of his own people die in these visions because they won't turn to God.
I had gotten the word of God is sweet, but judgment bitter.
Yeah.
And he says,
thou must prophesy again before many people, nations, and tongues, and kings. So he tells them, hey, you're going to tell people about it. The measuring of the temple, and there was given me a reed like a rod, so basically 9 foot. Or so, and rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the courts which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall be tread underfoot for 42 months. So here we see a little over half a year, or 3.5 years, 42 months. So it's like, you know, actually it is 3.5 years. So he said, hey, there's going to be a temple rebuilt, but the Gentiles are going to take over part of it. And Jesus even prophesied about that. Chapter 11, the seventh trumpet. Let's look over in chapter 11. Give them to me, you know, he goes in verses 14 or 15. He said, and the seventh angel sounded, there was a great voice in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world are become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders that sat before God on their seats fell down their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. So Jesus takes back the title deed of the earth. And Satan knows he's going to be, doesn't have much time left. And you see, the saved rejoice, and what do the nations do? The nation, it's verse 18, and the nations are angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged. So here, the saved rejoice, the sealed, I imagine in heaven they're rejoicing. I don't know what all we see, but the ones on earth that had not denied Christ, that accepted Christ, they're going to rejoice, but the people, the nations, are going to be angry. You would think that they would turn to God, but it's like Pharaoh. You know, Moses did all those plagues, and first of all, okay, I'll let you go. Then he changed his mind. Okay, I'll let you go. And he just kept rejecting and rejecting God. And the beast that ascend from the bottom shall make war on them. So here we see that this last half of the tribulation, the beast, the devil, this is the verse where they first call Satan the beast. And he's going to make war against the nation of Israel and shall overcome them and kill them. He's going to kill the two witnesses that preach in Jerusalem. Come on, let's go. That's it. And the seventh angel sounded, and we saw the heaven and the kingdoms, and it said he takes it back. Verse 19, and the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testimony. So evidently, there's a temple in heaven. That, you know, maybe that's where, you know, Moses was told he saw a pattern. Make it after the pattern you saw. So maybe God showed Moses this temple in heaven. I'm sure it's more lustrous, you know, beautiful than anything we can make down here. But evidently, you know, I don't know if we're going to see the blood of the lamb on it or what. Some people think that maybe they'll have that as a reminder of the price that Christ paid throughout eternity. What do we see here? Chapters 12 through 13, the devil and the Jews. He hates Israel in the past, and look at verse chapter 12. And I opened, and a great wonder appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. So this is the same as Joseph's dream, right? And it's talking about the nation of Israel. So this woman is Israel, and what happens? And she, you know, giving birth, she gave birth to the, you know, through the Israel, they had the Messiah. Verse 3, there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his head. So he's trying, and he said his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven. So Satan literally took a third of the angels that followed him and turned against God. And he's trying to everything he can throughout history to either kill the Jews so that this prophecy can't be fulfilled, and he won't be able to do it. And the Bible says God protected the woman. Most people think that whenever the battle of Armageddon happened, Israel's probably going to go to Masada. Remember the Indiana Jones movie when he goes through and rides through this big pass, and you open it, it's like a red palace in the stone. Well, that's Edom. That's where Esau had his capital. And it was very easily to protect because all the mountains and the cliffs, some are, you know, just a few hundred yards wide, and some of the cliffs go 200 feet. So it's very easy to protect. And some people think that the Jews are going to hide out there during some of this tribulation period, that God will protect them there. We see Michael the archangel. He's going to fight the dragon, and he's going to throw him out of heaven. So just like with Job, remember, he appeared before God in the book of Job, well, Satan no longer will have access to accuse us and accuse the brethren. And Michael's going to throw him out of heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, and he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And so they're not no longer after this point are going to have access to heaven. And they're going to be cast out, and Michael throws them out. We see chapter 13, that Antichrist, the first beast, the sand and the sea. And he was, you know, if you listen to his description, beast I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of bear, and his mouth like a mouth of lion. And the dragon gave him power and set seat and great authority. So it almost looks like the fourth beast in the book of Daniel, doesn't it? So you can see some of the, so if you, you know, if you're reading Ezekiel and Daniel, some of these things are going to make more sense, that you can picture it more and more. And you see, you know, and that, he talks about him in verses 1 through 10, and verse 8, and all that dwelt upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So people are going to be deceived. This Antichrist is going to have the power to persuade people. And especially when we don't, you know, people don't have the Holy Spirit at that time, like we do now. You know, I mean, have you ever listened, like I told you about when I first got saved, I started, you know, listening to Christian programs on the radio. You know, we didn't have as many back then, but I would listen to these people. And I remember this one guy, I said, you know, some of it was good, but something didn't sound right. And I finally realized, you know, after listening to it, that it was a cult. Armstrongism, Garner 10, you know. And I realized, hey, well, that's a cult, finally. And it's like, you know, how many people out there, Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses, come to them? Oh, these are nice people. And most of them are pretty pleasant to talk to. They're trying to be nice. But they sound to the world like a Christian, right? Oh, we worship the same, we're just like you. Mormon told me that. I said, no, you're not. I said, so my Jesus is not the half-brother of Satan. I said, you know, we do, you're not like us. And you're not either. You're just, you're lying to me. I said, you don't agree. You, Joseph Smith, your founder, said, which religion, you know, in his book, he said, what religion should I follow? And the angel told, according to Joseph Smith, that none of them, because they're all false. So he started the Latter-day Saints. So according to your own religion, I told her, Joseph Smith said, none of these religions out there are true. And you're saying we're the same. You're lying to me. She didn't know what to say. I said, I studied Mormonism. I pulled my phone up. Then I had the Mormon app, Latter-day Saint app on my phone. I had the Jehovah's Witnesses app on my phone. And so when they come, I pulled it up. I said, hey, I got it right here in your own website. So if I see somebody coming, if they're not, you know, usually you can tell if they're wearing white shirts and little name tags, you know that's a Mormon. So I bring that app up and start showing them stuff. I have in my room, I put them upside down. I got the Book of Mormon. I have it upside down. I have the Jehovah's Witness Bible upside down in my bookshelf. So when I see them, I pull it out and take that out and use their own Bible and talk to them. And I told you, my daughter said, Dad, you weren't here, but we had Jehovah's Witnesses in the neighborhood. So they hit every house except ours. They skipped our house.
They probably got a sign up.
She said, Dad, I guess they have us on their do not disturb list. But I go out and talk to them. I mean, I'm thankful somebody told me about the Lord. And these people are deceived. You know, I'm assuming most of them are deceived. I don't think most of them know they're lying to people. They think they actually believe, you know, most of them actually believe what they're teaching, you know, I would imagine. So I try to be friendly to them. I wasn't always friendly to them. I wanted to win the argument, but then I realized I got convicted that I wanted to win them. You know, I'm thankful somebody told me about the Lord. You know, so I got to have compassion. You know, Bible says having compassion, pulling some out of the fire. You know, if people see we really care, maybe they'll listen to us. But if we don't walk the, if we don't live the talk, you know, they're going to say, oh, they're a bunch of hypocrites or whatever. You know, so we got to live it and show it. But yet, you know, like I said last week, you know, with 1 John the week before, you know, what did John? Doctrine's important. Truth's important. You don't, I love you, and then compromise on doctrine. You got to have all of it. So, try to get through this a little further. You have the devil and his hatred for Israel, and there appeared, you know, I read that, the dragon's trying to kill the child, Israel, if, any way it can. You have the hatred for Israel, that's basically chapters 12. Chapter 12, he talks about it. And a woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared of God that they should feed her for a 2,203 score days. So 3.5 years. You know, and Michael the angel fought the dragon and he overcome them, right? And he cast them out of heaven. And I heard a loud voice saying, verse 10, now is come salvation and strength, the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. So whether Satan all the time or Satan and his angels, okay, you know, maybe Satan had a certain demon watching me. Hey, God, look at Barry down there. Look at Barry. Look what he did. You know, and we can put our own name in there. We are sinful people. We're not perfect. We're just forgiven. But we should be trying. We should try to be becoming more like Christ each and every day. Chapter, verse 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. So this happens right in the middle of the tribulation period. So when Satan gets kicked out of heaven, he spends all his energy and time on trying to punish the earth. And he said he has great wrath because he knows he doesn't have a long time. Let's skip over here a little bit. You know, his cohort, the Antichrist and the false prophet. Let's get over there. And there, you know, and I mentioned he said he describes them like a leopard and a bear and a mouth of a lion and a dragon's head, and people worshiped him. And you know, we're going to see that he gets a head wound and Satan brings him back to life, and people are going to worship him. I mean, imagine that. That's almost like a fake Christ. The Antichrist is going to get killed from a head wound, and then Satan is going to bring him back to life. Wow, look, he must be the Messiah. He was dead and he's alive. he's trying to portray Christ. And it opened his mouth and the blaspheming against God. You know, he blasphemed against God, his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. It was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power to kill over all the kindreds and tongues and nations. And them that dwell on earth shall worship him whose name are not written in the book of life. So he's going to fool many. He's going to kill a lot of people. So let him that have ears, let him hear. He that led into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killed with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. Said, hey, just hang on, hang on. You know, you wonder, you know, you see these movies and people are like, why didn't I? And you know, I see, if you ever read Thief in the Night and Distant Thunder and Image of the Beast, these are some tribulation movies, that some of the earlier ones that came out, and you see people crying because they didn't receive Christ when they had the chance, and then now their heart's too hardened, and they, you know, sort of like want to but don't. So that, you know, you have the false prophet. He's going to be like the religious leader of the world, and he's going to make people take the mark of the beast, and you're not going to buy or sell. I mean, you imagine what it was like with COVID. You had to have a mask, but now you're going to have a, what? Who knows, a tattoo or a chip on your forehead or your hand. Who knows exactly what it's going to be like. You see the barcodes, and you know, you're not going to be able to buy anything without it. I mean, how much of the world's trying to go paperless? I mean, who would have thought people that, what's that called, the money, the fake money?
That coins or whatever it is.
Bitcoin.
Yeah,
Bitcoins, right?
Like that, yeah.
I mean, who would ever thought that made people millions of dollars?
How does that even work? It confuses me.
It's
not real money.
I don't
right?
invest in it because I said, money. No, I don't. I'm not doing that. And it says in number 666 or 600, three score and six. So I remember my grandmother bought, we were the second store in Pennsylvania that had a barcode scanner. And my grandmother bought some just a few things. And they came out $6.66, and she said, throw a pack of gum on there. Even a lost person usually knows what the number 666 is. And she said, nope. But now that didn't make her take the mark of the beast, but she wasn't taking any chances.
I remember when the barcode came out, a lot of people really did think we were going to be in the times of
they say that the three
that.
Big numbers, tall numbers, is a computer variant of six. So, you know, who knows? They may have something else. We don't know. You have the message of the three special angels. You have the bowl judgments being poured out. You have the voice of the Holy Spirit, and you have the Armageddon announcement and the sight and sound of the temple. And I looked, you know, verse chapter 14, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him a 144,000 having his father's name written in their foreheads. Now, did they have something instead of taking the mark of the beast? They had a heavenly name on their head. And they were the evangelists that were going to evangelize the world. I mean, you know, God still cares, and he's getting people out. You tell them, and it's up to them that whether they accept or reject. And I heard the voice of harpers harping, and they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man can learn except for the 144,000 which redeemed from the earth. These were, which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. Well, Jehovah's Witnesses used to say they were the 144,000, but then the problem happened that they wound up having more than 144,000, so they had to change their doctrine. They had to say, well, those were the, I'm trying to remember the exact term they used, but they were the special saints. Now, actually, in kingdom halls, as far as from what I heard from ex-Jehovah's Witnesses, they take communion, right? But guess who's the only ones that take communion? The original 144,000. Well, now, most of them are dead and gone. I don't know if there's any left. And they will actually, like, you know, how we do take communion and walk down. Well, they take communion and just walk down the aisle and never pass the communion place to anybody, because only the 144,000 could take it. So they have communion, but nobody takes it. But before, you know, you had some older ones for a while that they would take it. If they happened to be in your kingdom hall, you'd see them take it. But now, you know, I think it's too long that everyone's dead from that now. You know, because I think that was around 1914, around World War I or something like that. I can't remember the exact date. But yeah, so they have to change their religion or just, I mean, you can imagine kids in a kingdom hall watching, Dad, what's that for? Oh, it's communion. How come they're not passing it to us? Well, it's for the 144,000. Where are the 144,000? Well, they're all dead. Well, why do we do it? Well, that's because our apostles, I think they call them apostles, our apostles tell us that what we need to do. So it makes no sense. And I saw an angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel preach unto them that dwell on the earth. So here this angel somehow empowers the gospel to be preached on the earth, shouting with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of the waters And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine and the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed him with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead and in his hand, he shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture unto the cup of indignation. So God's even trying to warn, even at the last minute, said, hey, repent, turn to God, worship him. And yet people are going to ignore him. You know, verse 13, and I heard the voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labor and their works do follow him. So he's you know, right at the end, the angel's still encouraging those that are standing for Christ. You know, I imagine in heaven, we probably have angels, or even down here, that try to encourage us even though we can't hear them, you know, and help us when we're going through hard times and troublesome times. I know Matt lost a friend 2 days ago, right?
Yesterday
at work. It was yesterday. And Josh lost a friend. And God helps us, you know, in our times. We don't know why for everything, but we trust God. And, you know, hopefully God will use those things to make people start thinking of eternity. You know. And back here, and it talks about Armageddon and the grapes. It says, and the winepress was trodden without the city, and the blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse's bridle, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. I imagine that's a good long distance. You know, probably miles, probably in the valley of Armageddon, in the valley there, and the blood's going to be so much. I mean, you read about some of these ancient battles, like 1 million Ethiopians fighting against Israel. I mean, 1 million people. You know, I don't know what cities have 1 million people in America, but, you know, I don't know. Does Washington, D.C. have 1 million? I know New York does.
New York has 9 million.
I wonder, 10 million. What cities, you know, Lynchburg, what, 75,000, 80,000? I don't know exactly how many, but you imagine, you know, 10 Lynchburgs going, you know, dying, you know, 1 million people. And I saw that, the seven angels with the, having the seven last plagues. For in them is filled up the wrath of God. I mean, just think of what we heard so far, the destruction. And now it's that these are worse. It just, as time goes on, it's getting worse and worse, and God's using everything to try to get people to repent. I mean, look at some of these. The Bible says that they're going to pray that the rocks fall on them and kill them, but they can't die. They're going to want to die, but they're not going to be able to. I don't know if God supernaturally keeps the bullets from, you know, them exploding or what, but, you know, when they're doing that, when the scorpion's stinging for those 5 months, they said they're going to wish they were dead, but can't die. I mean, just suffering and suffering. And it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. He says, and if, you know, events accompanying, he said, you have the terrible sores on the followers of the Antichrist. They're going to break out with like almost like boils and sores on them. And I don't know whether this is true, but I read one person talking about lithium batteries. You know how you inject chips into animals or people even nowadays? And somebody said, and I said, I don't know if it's true, but if the lithium breaks down in your bloodstream, it could cause sores. Maybe it had something to do with a chip that gets inserted into your skin that it breaks down, because there's going to be intense heat. Even though there's less sunlight, there's going to be intense heat. So maybe that causes the batteries to fail and to leak. I don't know. So you're going to have more water is poison. So salt water is going to be poison. Imagine that stink of the dead fish. You know, I mean, you know what it's like down at harbors, the fishy smell. Imagine if all the fish in the water was dead. And what happens? The water is washed, the fish floats, and it gets washed up to the shore. I know we were camped out down at Virginia Beach, down at the state park down there, and I'm assuming a boat hit it or something hit it, but there was one of those big sea turtles got hit, and it got washed up on shore. So it was, you know, like this big, and you had coyotes down there at the beach. We went down to the beach one morning. We saw coyotes over there. They were eating at this dead turtle. But you can imagine after a few days, this, you know, that was summertime, what the stench was like. I imagine they eventually came and cleaned it up. But you imagine all the dead animals from the water dying. And you have the blistering heat from the sun. You have the darkness upon the Babylon. You know, imagine it being totally dark. Sort of. Some of these remind you of the plagues brought on Egypt. And what happened? People still didn't repent. You have the Euphrates River is going to dry up, and the world's army are going to come to the battle of Armageddon. We don't have it here in Revelation, where it talks about Russia, you know, coming down, but it talks about it in Ezekiel, where Russia is going to come and invade. And it just talks about armies here, you know, from Cain and Tubal-Cain, you know. And that's ancient names for Russia, Tubal-Cain. And if you go and listen to some of the genealogy stuff on Answers in Genesis, they talk about some of where these names, how they actually came from names that we can hear in the Bible, how they changed from language to language. And they trace back these, where the names originated from. And some of these are the very names that they have in the Bible in those 70 nations. When it talks about, and this tribe, and this person had this tribe, and this person had this tribe, you know, talking about the nations of the world. And we can trace some of the names back to different, like, different of Noah's children, and trace them back to their children, and go and see where these lines spread out, like where Jephthah spread out, and where Ham spread out, and where Shem spread out. And we can follow these different tribes and nations, and how these names changed as they got in different locations. And they're going to be the world's greatest earthquake and the world's greatest hailstorm ever. I mean, imagine hailstones this big falling. You know, and I mean, just think of the destruction it's going to cause on earth. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, "Go your way and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth." And the first went and poured out his vial on the earth, and there fell noisome and grievous sores. So this is just what we covered about. And there's going to be blood, like the second angel, the seas, you know, as the blood of dead men, and every soul died in this sea. So all these animals died in the sea. And the third angel on the rivers, and you had all the dead animals in the river. I mean, the water is going to be all become polluted. And they're just going to judge. Verse 5, and I heard the angel of the water say, "Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and was and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy." He said, hey, they're getting their just desserts. You know, sometimes we look at this wicked world and we think they're getting away with it. Well, no longer here. God's giving everybody. I'm thankful we had mercy because we accepted Christ when we should, when we had the opportunity. And that's why it's up to us to try to tell the world, because we don't want to what's going to happen here, because God was merciful to us and it's not happening to us. So we got to always be mindful of that. Hey, we deserved the same punishment, but God was merciful to us and saved us. And some people might have to hear more than one time. I mean, there's no guarantee you're going to get here more than one time. But hey, it's up to us to tell them. We can't make somebody believe. So we just tell them. Fourth angel poured out his, and it talked about the sun was going to scorch men, and the scorch with great heat, and they blaspheme the name of God that have power over the plagues. So the heat and the all the plagues, they're just cursing at God more. It's like they're just making it worse. The sixth angel, he poured out his vial in the great river, and it dried up, and made way for the kings of the east that might be prepared. So in other words, God's going to prepare everything for that final battle, the Battle of Armageddon, where the nations of the world think they're going to defeat Israel. You know, I mean, you think of all these nations that we, when we did 2 years ago in Genesis, right, and in Judges and all that, all these nations that are no longer here on earth, but God has protected and kept Israel because he made a promise to them. And they're here today, and they will be here till the end. And one day, Jesus Christ is going to sit upon the throne. And nothing in this earth is going to be able to stop him. So, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garment, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called Hebrew tongue Armageddon, or Megiddo, the valley of Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven and from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there was a voice of voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake such as not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And imagine, do you think they had earthquakes during the flood? I imagine,
probably so, yeah.
I imagine some of those floods is what caused some of those earthquakes, the earth breaking up and the fountain of the deep break up. And here God says there's going to be an earthquake greater than any there's ever been before. And you know, now, of course, they don't have that water table pressure underneath the earth, underneath the crust of the earth like they had before. So we're not going to be destroyed by water. We're going to be destroyed by fire, this earth. And the great city was divided in three, and the cities and the nations fell. And great Babylon came into remembrance before God. And they called it Babylon, you know, Jerusalem, where the Lord died. They talk about it. And they became so wicked that he's calling them. These other places, God calls Jerusalem sometimes Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, that is not, if you're a Jew, that is not the nicest word to be said about your city. Well, imagine all the times that they rejected God and they killed the prophets. And God's going to call that city and make it repent. And we'll go ahead and stop here in a minute. We'll finish this up. And the Lamb destroys the world's religious system. The history of this harlot, she drinks the blood of the saints, the future religious system, and they team up with the Antichrist. Let me just read a little bit of this. "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore which sitteth upon the many waters." And waters in the Bible usually talked about nations. And the Hebrew word for water and nations are pretty similar. So when you hear about the many waters, that's usually is figuratively talking about the nations, different nations, "with whom the kings of the earth had committed fornication, and the inhabitants of earth had made drunk with the wine of her fornication." And I mean, just think of all this world entertainment system. I mean, what do they care about? Probably most Americans spend more on entertainment than any other. I mean, I had a friend that his wife gave him for his birthday gift a Super Bowl ticket to the, what was it? Some of the teams. What was one of the, not, no, 2 years, 3 years ago? I'm trying to remember which team it was. But anyways, I could imagine how much that ticket cost. Probably hundreds, maybe 1,000 plus, sure, depending where you have it.
No, it was way more than that.
Yeah.
100. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like thousands.
Yeah. Thousands.
Because depending on where you sit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Better seat, more money you're
yeah.
going to spend.
I'm sure it was.
But how much people, and does anybody remember what the word amusement means? Okay, what's the word in like the Greek language or Latin? If I said amillennial, it means no millennium, you know, not. So when you see many times attached to a word, it's very possible if it's, you know, if it's like a prefix, it's meaning something negative or not. Well, muse. Anybody know what the word muse means in Greek? It means to think. So amusement means not to think. So when I'm going to amusement park, you're not there. You're not there to study. You're there not to think. And I mean, imagine how much entertainment we have. So hey, I'm going to this amusement. Well, literally, it means not to think. So every time you go to an amusement park or see something like that, you'll probably think, oh, that means I'm not thinking or whatever. And of course, sometimes you're standing in line out. I had one guy, he said he literally took a stopwatch to see how long they stood in lines and how much time they actually spent on amusement. Right. So he goes, we spent the day there, and he was a scientist guy. He said, we spent the day there, and we literally spent less than a half hour on rides. So most of us spent waiting in lines. It was like 3-4 minutes, 5 minutes, whew. Then you run to the next one, and you wait a half hour, depending on what time you go, an hour maybe, or who knows. Let's get down here. And upon their forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, and the Mother of Harlots, and Abominations of the Earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. He's like, what is this? And of course, in here they usually portray her as the world's religion, the world's economic system. And says she's really a harlot. And the world is perverted. They try to get, we used to watch some different old shows on TV, and some of them got so bad because of the commercials. I mean, I didn't want my kids, like some of these, I'm trying to think of the names of some of these, but they would show some of these off shows, commercials for these shows in between. Like we'd like watching Andy Griffith, and then they'd pull up all these sick sitcoms. That, women, men and men. The guy was always the idiot in it. The woman was always the smart one, or the kid was always the smart one. They show all these things. So we'd either shut it off, but eventually my mother-in-law recorded a lot of them on her VCR, because they had cable, we didn't have cable. She recorded a lot of these shows, like, Mr. Rogers and stuff like that, and she would turn it off for the commercials so we could watch something. And of course now, they got these cable things that you can put on and it automatically bleeps out cuss words or whatever. But, you can't even watch some good shows because of the commercials they put on them. I mean, I'm watching a show, and all of a sudden, here they come these dating apps, and it's two men or two women.
Yeah, you're right.
Or, it's like, I can't even watch, so I just turn it off or click it on another tab and look at something else for a little bit while that, because you have to wait, usually have to wait a little bit to skip through on things. So it's like, it just, they just want to portray everything that they want as normal.
Yeah.
And the stuff that Christians hold that we've held for hundreds of years. I mean, we got a bathroom at work, and an inclusive bathroom, but it's only a single stall. So I said it should be called exclusive because women don't want guys walking in on it. But they call it inclusive.
That is true, really, when you think about it.
Yeah, it's stupid. And I mean, because, I don't want a guy walking in on my wife or my daughter in a bathroom.
Well, it was too, Barry, with that. You never know if somebody would come in there and rape you or anything.
Yeah.
Or kill you. That's the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Of course, people knowing they have cameras in, at least we do at work, so that would hopefully deter some of that. But it's like, you wonder how long, because we got people there that, one of the he's that want to be she, and we had she's that want to be he. I didn't realize this one person was, and I said, thank you, ma'am. What'd you say? I said, Thank you, ma'am. No, I'm a he. Oh, I'm sorry. So I went and told one preacher friend of mine, Teddy Jones, he's a preacher out here, and I told him, he said, I thought the same thing. And then I mentioned that somebody else, what I did, said, well, no, she's a he wannabe. And then we got the other way, too. We got a he wannabe. I was like, is that a guy or a girl? You know, I mean, I think it's a guy, but wearing a dress and, you know, wearing women's clothes. And here somebody said, well, it's a he, but he wants to be a she. I mean, just...
I often wonder what God thinks when he looks down on some of this stuff.
Well, Romans,
you know, honestly,
Romans 1 talks about
yeah.
that.
I know, it's true. I mean, the whole thing. That's what I'm saying. I'm surprised, you know.
Well, Romans 1 talks about that when they knew God, they glorified him, not about God, but became vain in their imagination, so their foolish hearts were darkened. Because they don't want to believe. God likes it. Okay, you don't want to believe? Go ahead. I'll just give you over. You want to see the world? You want to see what the world is like without God? You don't want God? I mean, I know people, you know, would come to me, like, especially when, what's that one in Colorado? Combine? When that first happened, you know, mass shooting? I had people that would cuss and swear, and you need to, I need to get my kids in your school. Could we homeschool? And said, I need to get my kids in your school. It's like they don't want have anything to do with God, but when something like that happens, it makes them worried, and they come to you for you to pray for them, or you know, what do you think, Barry? What do you think of that? I had one guy when you know they had a shooting. So what do you expect? And he's a very liberal Democrat. He said, what do you think we should do then? I said, you want to save a lot of lives? He said, yeah. I said, ban abortion. I said, you save more lives going that than you will of controlling guns. Because I said, there's thousands of babies killed. I said, you know, in New York City, there are more black babies aborted in New York City than are born right now. I was watching one, and there was a guy, he was talking to this Black Lives Matter and told him that. And you just saw that look on that guy's face. Because they were demonstrating against the pro-life thing they had in New York, and the guy told him, he said, "You know, there's more black babies aborted in New York City than are being born right now." And just you saw the look on his face, and he said, "I'm done protesting," and he walked away. So, and the guy was nice to him, and you know, sometimes you just never think, you know. I mean, I would have been aborted. I had a lady, she was talking to me, so that's because you're a man. I said, no, I would have been aborted. My mom went around, it was illegal back then. My mom went around looking to have an abortion, illegal abortion, and she couldn't find one. She, you know, rode motorcycles and did all this stuff, caused herself to have a miscarriage and didn't have one. And then she said later, so I'm thankful that I did it because you treat me better than all the kids I planned. And I told the lady, she just didn't say anything. A few weeks later, I heard her talking to her friend, and they were talking about one of their friends said, oh, she lost the baby. I almost said, oh, it's just a fetus. I didn't, but, you know, I was thinking, because if you want to abort it, it's a fetus. If you want to keep it, it's a baby. So when you wanted to have the abortion, oh, it's a fetus. But when her friend who wanted a baby lost it, oh, she lost her baby. It's the same thing. Latin. Fetus, baby, child. So, you know, they just change the name so they don't feel guilty. So we're going to stop right there. But we're going to see these kings and finish up the rest of Revelation next week. And we're in our last class other than the final. So, Matt, you want to close for us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this day and for your many blessings upon us, Lord, and thank you for this time we can come together to be in your word. Lord, I pray now that you would be with us and keep us safe and bring us back together again at the next appointed time. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you all.
Is Scott working to make you?